Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Seattle. Padres, Mariners, three games beginning tonight. Going to see some tough pitching, but that's okay because, you know, Padres' offense is on fire. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Yeah, well, they can't pitch, but the good news is they also can't pitch. So there you go. This is not a good team right now, Kevin. And we've talked for a month that the kinds of heroics that they seem to pull off night in and night out probably are not sustainable over the course of 162 games. And this series to me in Milwaukee was a perfect example. They pulled something out of the fire for the umpteenth time. Gavin Sheets has a home run with two outs in the ninth inning, sparks them to a win. Good for them. Sandwiched around that were two pretty bad performances, maybe none this season worse than what we saw yesterday. They get down early, struggle. This is an offense that still can't really seem to hit. Starting pitching has gone cold. I think that this is a Padre team that arrives in Seattle really on the ropes early on this year. Talk me down. Talk me down, Kevin. Tell me I'm wrong.
Hey, absolutely, because I know that you say it with the caveat that they're seven games above 500. They are a contending team. They are a first wild card spot team on the ropes. So, like, the caveat is, hey, really, really good record, man. But if you are that team, you kind of suck. By that standard, you're not a good team. They have led at the end of a half inning twice in their last two victories, meaning Nick Castellanos tied the game that they had never led on Sunday, and then they won in the 10th. Then they had a brief lead on Wednesday, lost it, and then Gavin Sheets won it in the 9th. They are falling behind, and sometimes they come back. Like, as a matter of fact, in 13 of their 25 victories, they have decided the game in the 7th inning or later. That's awesome. It's also getting old a little bit. Like, it's super exciting, but it's also getting old because you can't help after, like, the excitement wears off and, like, 10 minutes go, yeah, but he just didn't play very good that game.
Right. And Craig Stammen, I mean, said as much the other night. He goes, got to play every inning like it's the 9th, or I wish I could start every game in the 9th inning. And that's true. The thing that, to me, Kevin, has gone from concerning to alarming with this team has been the starting pitching. We sort of have talked about it, and we've known it for three weeks or more now. But Griffin Canning had another really poor outing yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about Matt Waldron and his place in the world. Lucas Giolito is going to join the team this weekend. Padres are missing two other starting pitchers. This could get ugly. Like, I think. What's going on with Canning? Let's start there.
Well, let's start with this, that you are pointing that out as the alarming thing, I think speaks to the issues this team has, because I would say that's a distant second right now to the offense. But I think what you're doing is looking big picture, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's what you're doing. Because, like, yeah, like, the starting pitching has gotten 1 6-inning outing each of the last three times through. The bullpen has been having to work too much. You know, Canning was terrible yesterday. Like, the rotation, and certainly the bullpen, has done enough for this team to have won three or four more games. So in the immediate moment, they've been surviving with the rotation. Now, you go big picture, and I could not agree with you more. But Lucas Giolito's coming. Don't expect, like, ace guy, but if he can be, look, anymore, and I hear from all the old guys like me, but older, every time I write about a quality start, guys, 60 to 75% of the time, if your starter gives you six innings and does not allow more than three earned for the quality start, but more than three runs, your team is going to win. I get it. It ain't Whitey Ford, okay? Like, I understand freaking Cy Young was throwing nine innings 3 days in a row. But now, even if you get five innings from your starter and he gives up one or two, you have a better than 50% chance of winning. that makes you a freaking playoff team. So right. If Lucas Giolito can come in and give you some innings and do it in a quality manner, that is great. Now, you don't get Pivetta back at Pivetta level. You don't get Musgrove back at Musgrove level. You got to go out at the trade deadline and get a rental. Now, that's if, and it's too early for us to start talking about that. That's if the Padres are in contention at the trade deadline. And right now, based on how we've started this show, you and I both consider that a question.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that they would have to play pretty poorly for an extended period of time to not be contenders by this time.
You mean like they have the last 15 games?
Right. Yeah. Right. They would have to be. I mean, things would have to crater, number one. Number two, I do think that there's starting pitching out there to be had without giving up a lot. If they're okay writing a check for a guy, I think there are guys there who you can go just buy. And hey, that's great. To me, the concerns are almost nightly now. Randy Vasquez has been really good, right? I'll give Randy Vasquez some credit. He's been good this year. But kind of nightly, it's, man, can you get the ball in the hands of this bullpen with a lead? You know, we can talk about quality starts. More specifically,
but whose fault is that?
Right, I know. But more specifically, to the Padres' point, the bullpen is so good. If you can just hand them a lead, they're going to win 90% of the time, right? 80% of the time, whatever it is. And whose fault is that? Is it the starting pitching for not coming through? Is it the offense, which can't score runs? Is it both?
I think it's more the offense. I just do. I'm writing myself a note here, Ryan, to make sure that I am right about this. But I want to have the stat of, I want to make sure I know I'm right, first of all. Second of all, I want to have the stat to back it up that how often have you gotten into the fifth and the Padres starter is still there? He went five and he gave up two or three.
Right.
A lot, man. Right. A lot. Right. And it's 3-0.
Right.
Or it's 3-1. Mm-hmm. Like the Padres have been outscored by, I updated it today, I can't remember, is it 39 runs in the first eight innings and then outscored their opponents by 35 in the ninth inning and later. Like, this is the offense. Now, here's what we know about baseball. The second the offense starts hitting, something's going to happen with the starting pitching or whatever. That's just, you know, baseball. And if you're a Padres fan, you're saying that's just Padres baseball. I'm not saying you're on the right track here. Like, I can't disagree with you vehemently. I'm just saying this offense is horrid, and it's the offense's fault.
Right. Where does that start? Is it as simple as Fernando Tatis isn't hitting home runs and Manny Machado and Jackson Merrill aren't hitting for average? Is it as simple as your stars aren't being stars, or is there something deeper there?
I really think it is, man. I wrote today and I happen to find it fascinating, not because I wrote it, but because like it was fascinating to me. I went through and I looked at some of the teams that are in the top 10 in offense and OPS, slugging, all that. Take out their two stars, right? Take out Horner and Happ for the Cubs. Take out Abrams and Wood for the Nationals. Just forget that those two guys used to be Padres prospects. So anyway, take out Judge and who's the rookie kid hitting home runs for the Yankees. And the rest of those teams' players, their slugging percentage, their OPS, not significantly higher. As a matter of fact, the Nationals is lower. Not significantly higher than the rest of the Padres after Tatis and Machado. Mm-hmm. To me, boom, Tatis and Machado. I also did the math. If you look back and you just take Manny Machado's 2021 first 42 games, take Fernando Tatis Jr.'s 2023 first 42 games. Why do I say that? Because those were their most mediocre starts to a season. Add those numbers, like say, give the Padres eight more home runs, seven of them by Machado, by Tatis. Give them a couple more doubles, give them another triple, give them five more singles. Guess what? Padres are scoring more runs, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, we can't expect more of Gavin Sheets. No freaking way. We can't expect more of Ty France or Nick Castellanos. We can expect more of Jackson Merrill, sure, but he's 23 years old and he's not making 20 plus mil. And he's not on a contract that's going to pay him an average of 30 plus. you know, we can, whatever. Jake Roanoke was hitting a buck something. Freddie Fermin was hitting a buck something. Okay. Who do we expect more? Who was this team built around? Whose contracts have made it so that they can't go out and add more? Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado.
Yep. Padres only have one qualifying hitter with an OPS over 650, and that's Jackson Merrill. And that OPS probably wasn't 650 a week ago. I mean, Jackson Merrill has pulled out of a little bit of a tailspin here. Really struggling. Again, there's another guy who we don't talk about a lot, who I think was the key to what a lot of what they did last year and really has struggled this year, and that's Ramon Laureano.
Amen.
I mean, goodness, he has an OPS of 413.
Is that what it's dipped to?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It's been terrible. He had a 24-game strikeout streak in which he struck out 36 times. Here's a quiz about how far you read into a newsletter, Ryan. Who's the only Padres player in history to have a longer strikeout streak than Ramon Laureano?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
Joey Lucchese, who struck out in his final 28 starts for the Padres.
Joey Lucchese, for those of you with short memories, was a pitcher. This was back when pitchers...
And a historically bad
The worst hitter. Pitcher of all time. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's the stuff that I think we need, you know, I think that good hitting can be contagious. I think bad hitting slumps can be contagious. And it is now spilled over to a guy, Laureano, who's been pro throughout his career, really struggling here.
You're totally right. And that is something that is big because you were counting on him to a certain level. Like, right. Absolutely.
Be a league average player. Yes.
Do not think. Yes. And you do need those guys. I'm not saying you don't, but I still say that is a supplement. It does not go against my point that, and I'm sorry. Like, I'm a guy who, I do not care how much somebody makes. They deserve to make it if they're earning it. Right. But once you make that, and it all the pieces that then have to fit around you because you're Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., it's on you, man.
It's funny. One name that we haven't brought up is Xander Bogaerts. And you know why, Kevin? Because Xander Bogaerts is doing a perfectly fine job at shortstop. Doing a perfectly fine job in this order. This is not his fault. And, you know, talk about a guy who makes a ton of money. He's not producing to what his contract says he should produce to. But he's been fine. In fact, he's probably been their most consistent player so far this season.
Yeah, that's yes, that is that's the funny thing that, like, well, they've taken the heat off. They and then his play have taken the heat off of Xander Bogaerts.
Exactly. Well, one more lineup question here, and then we'll get into the series with the Mariners. This is an offense that is struggling. You're getting the same thing night in, night out from a lot of people. There's an X factor sitting on the bench, I think, in Sungmoon Song. Is there a thought that he may be playing more going forward? And did he not play in Milwaukee simply because he struggles with high velocity guys and the Brewers have a lot of high velocity guys?
High velocity and then they face the lefty. So yeah, absolutely. I do think that's a really good question and a good point. Craig Stammen has been prone to, like, hey, we're struggling. Let's go for this spark plug. Let's try this. Right. Let's try that. Right. And so that could be something. They're about to face three lefties. It's not like taking somebody else out of the lineup at this point is some obvious, you know, oh, I can't believe that, you know, Sungmun Song is starting and Fernando Tatis Jr. isn't. Now, Fernando Tatis Jr. needs to be in the starting lineup, but you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe we're giving this guy a day off. Really? What did he do yesterday? the day before. So that's a really good point. That said, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but let's not expect too much of Sungmun Song. I mean, exactly. If he was going to be that guy, he would have been up here, you know, 2 weeks earlier and he would be in the lineup, right?
Right. To me, again, you're facing three righties in a row this weekend. Yeah. To me, this screams, put the 29-year-old at second base. Put Fernando Tatis back in the outfield and just see if things can level off a little bit. You know, I think that the Tatis second base experiment has gone fairly well, but he was exposed a little bit this weekend or this week against the Brewers. Couple couple of mental errors, I think, in the field.
He was exposed in that he was put in those situations. Yeah. Ty France screwed up the bunt.
Yes.
Those are like 1 in 100 plays, right? Like where I say Ty France screwed up the bunt, like a lot of first basemen. Sure. Ty France has been playing a fantastic first base. As Craig Stammen pointed out, the shift has sort of changed things about like what you're thinking that like, you know, 10 years ago, Ty France made the right play and you know, whatever. And the Brewers happened to do a play that showed, you know, anyway. And then another play where, you know, Tatis maybe didn't have a throw and probably made the right play not throwing to third base because he could have yanked the ball and thrown it away because he didn't have a lane to throw. But I want to agree with you that, like, he's Sung Mon Song is much better at that position than Fernando Tatis because Fernando Tatis Jr. has now started 11 games there.
Right, right. It's true. It's true. Three-game series, Padres-Mariners, starting tonight, 6:40. We have Randy Vasquez against Emerson Hancock, two guys with pretty similar numbers. Vasquez 4-1 with an ERA of 3.05. Hancock 3-1 with an ERA of 3.21. Five of Emerson Hancock's 8 starts have been quality starts. Held the Padres to 2 runs on 4 hits and a walk in 6 innings at Petco Park when the team's.
You know what game that was?
Which one was it?
That was the 5 runs in the 9th inning game.
That's right.
And it's a game that I remember, like, where I'm like, this is the game I thought the Padres were at worst going to be. It wasn't so much the 5-run 9th inning. Emerson Hancock, I could look it up here, but that would probably take too long. Emerson Hancock was like at like 8 pitches through 4 innings. Like he was destroying. And then like in the 5th inning, they got him to throw some more pitches, didn't score. The 6th inning, Bogarts hits a 2-run homer. Mm-hmm. It went in the course of 2 innings from Emerson Hancock is going to throw a complete game against these guys to he was out after 6. And then the Padres were able to get on the bullpen because they're like some freakish team that does better against the bullpen than the starters. That game, not so much for the 9th inning. Yes, that was incredible and spectacular. But like, sometimes you're going against Emerson Hancock, who's a really good young pitcher, and you can't score more than a run or two against him. But at least you got him out earlier than maybe he could have been out. And they're not doing that lately.
Right. By the way, I need to correct the record here 10 minutes later. Ramon Laureano's abysmal OPS. That's for the month of May.
Okay, thank you. I'm like, OPS, what did I miss? Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, 413. But 413, but only for May. He was better in April. Saturday, we've got, it appears like it's going to be Lucas Giolito. Am I right?
Here's like it's going to be Sunday. Now, that Sunday, has not been determined. They were still talking about that when I talked to people yesterday. And Ruben Niebla has been gone from the team, is joining the team now. But pretty sure Walker Buehler did his bullpen on his regular day to start Saturday. And that the idea was that Giolito was going to start Sunday.
Okay. Even though Giolito would be on regular rest if he pitched Saturday.
One of them is coming off their regular rest. I mean, either Buehler or Giolito. So I don't know. Yeah.
So how about this? Why don't we say the next two nights are going to be some combination of Buehler and then Giolito going up against Logan Gilbert on Saturday, 2-3, 3.78 ERA, coming off 6 shutout innings, best outing of the year. And then on Sunday, it's George Kirby, who's allowed 2 or fewer runs in 7 of his last 9 starts. He has an ERA of 2.84. You know, the Seattle Mariners are a team that really struggled out of the gate this year. The Padres are facing 3 pitchers this weekend with ERAs of 3.2. 3.78 and 2.84. Those are 3 pretty darn good starting pitchers, I think.
They're good pitchers that are probably better than their ERAs. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah this is Hancock with the sinker, he's the kind of pitcher that gives the Padres trouble. They did not face, right? Last time it was Wu, Castillo, Hancock. So they did not face Kirby or Gilbert. Those guys have been good against the Padres. This is a tough park to hit in. Of course, this is where they score 13 runs tonight. But like, yeah, this is the kind of series, and you, I think at the start, this is the kind of series that just looks ugly for the Padres.
Yes.
the thing I love about baseball, that's why I always laugh, you know, you tweet out a lineup, which I don't even do anymore. But I let Jeff Sanders do that. You tweet out a lineup and it's different than what people expected or what's normal. And everyone's up in arms. And then the Padres scored 9 runs that day. That's what this reminds me of. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm talking about how abysmal this offense is. And this place, what's it called now? T-Mobile. It's going to be, they're not going to score. And they're probably going to light it up this weekend.
All right, Padres do catch one break. Cal Raleigh is on the injured list for the first time in his career and will not be playing this weekend. Cal Raleigh, again, coming off one of the great offensive seasons in the history of Major League Baseball.
Not going so well this year. I've heard some people, and I try not to do this, theorize that he is quote-unquote hurt.
Ooh, wow.
Maybe they would quote-unquote do that for Tatis. Kevin just made that up out of his head. I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not saying that they're going to do that.
Right. Like Herman Marquez's nerve issue, that one?
You know, I try to not, you know, look, everyone's hurt in some way. It's whether the team can find it.
Yep. No, that's a great point. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and this is no different. And this is where I wanted to go.
Oh, boy.
What's going to happen with Matt Waldron?
Matt Waldron will be designated for assignment. There seemed to be some confusion in the manager's office about that yesterday, but there's really nothing to do with Matt Waldron. Kudos to Matt, gave the Padres 2 innings yesterday. He helped make up for the 2 2/3 innings that he threw as, you know, the bulk opener, effectively his spot in the rotation 2 nights earlier. And so when I say he made up for that, it was like, you have to look at the totality. Those 3 games in Milwaukee were the first 3 of 9 straight, right? Mm-hmm. So the bullpen, without Matt picking up those 2 innings, 2 other guys, and probably it wasn't going to be another guy throwing 2 innings, 2 mm-hmm. other guys were going to have to work yesterday and, you know, maybe be available today, but then not be available, you know, on Saturday. So like Matt Waldron on his way out the door did a solid for the Padres, helped them out. But there's just, you know, I don't know what you think about it, Ryan, but there is the possibility that he's DFA'd, he clears waivers, and he's back in El Paso. But it's a real good chance that we've seen the end of Matt Waldron.
Yeah. Well, what I was wondering, I guess, a little bit is if he can come out of the bullpen, do they keep him around for a couple of days and then activate Giolito on Sunday?
Well, but he pitched 2 of the last 3 days, multiple right. innings. He wouldn't have been available today. Right. Possibly. He seems pretty beat. Possibly not tomorrow. And then you make a move for Giolito anyway. So right. as I tweeted it out a bit ago, Alec Jacob is going to be called up. Alec Jacob's in Seattle. And so that signals the confirmation of what I was told, that Matt's time is finished.
Yeah, it's disappointing. You know, it's one of those guys. I'm sure somebody will claim him. I cannot imagine that he would be back in El Paso. There's a lot to like there. You know, to me, and again, we'll forever remember how Matt Waldron saved them a couple of years ago. Right.
Well, if nothing else, that gives him, we're talking about a starting pitcher here, right? Like, I know, like, to those of us, right, we get in this, right? We watch every day and we see a guy who, whatever, has a 9-something ERA in his last, you know, since the end of 24, right? You know, the starting pitching's precious and this guy's shown he can do it before.
My question is, who will he be at his next stop? Because again, 40 years of following the Padres leads me to think that this guy's going to pick up somewhere and be an all-star, right? That this is what happens. to me, there's been this great tug of war over the years with him. They think he's a knuckleball pitcher. He thinks he's a pitcher with a knuckleball. Fair?
Yes. Now, when we say they, and I always try to bring this up when we're talking about a team, right? Like, there are people in the organization that think he should throw his fastball and his sweeper more. He should just do it better. But like, yes, that you've summed it up correctly. Yes.
Yeah, to me, the fact that he threw just a handful of knuckleballs in what sort of looked to be his final start with the Padres showed me who he thinks he is.
Oh,
I'm not
absolutely
sure that that's a quality starter. I think that a guy who throws a knuckleball over and over again has a place in somebody's starting rotation.
Or figuring it out how to throw it. He is not, his knuckleball is not like the legendary knuckleballs, right? But yes, Ryan, yes. Like, it's an outlier pitch and it's what makes a decent fastball when commanded right and a decent sweeper when commanded right. It's what makes those pitches good.
Yeah. If Matt Waldron leaves the Padres, as he, you know, is likely or probable here, we will close the book on the Mike Clevinger trade. Right?
He was the player to be named,
or he was the guy coming back with Mike Clevinger.
Good point. One of those trades that could be debated forever. I will defend it forever because the Padres had a chance. If Clevinger and Lamet had not got the elbow injuries, Padres had a chance to win the World Series that year.
They did.
Got to go for it. Hindsight, holy smokes, you gave up a lot.
Josh Naylor, Austin Hedges, Gabriel Arias. Who else?
Is that Joey Cantillo?
Joey Cantillo in the big leagues? Yeah. So four big leaguers, one all-star in Josh Naylor, who's making a heck of a lot of money for, and let's bring it all the way back around, the Seattle Mariners, who the Padres play tonight. Three-game series, 6:40 tonight, 4:15 on Saturday, 4:10 on Sunday.
Fox and then Peacock. That's what's crazy.
It's crazy. So for the second, is it the second straight weekend? The Padres are going to be all over the dial. So obviously you can find out where they're playing by reading the San Diego Union Tribune, going to our website, or subscribing to Kevin's excellent and free Padres Daily newsletter. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.